Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Amen. And I was just thinking, wow, you know, there's dozens of churches in Jamaica, and there's thousands of people who've come to the Lord in Jamaica. And I was wondering, who do you think the guy was 66 years ago, or the lady 66 years ago, who paid for the tent that my grandfather preached in? Who did that? Who was the person or the people who embraced that vision and got a part of that? And, you know, whoever they are, they got thousands and thousands of people that are in the kingdom because of their generosity. Isn't that amazing? How many people can we touch through just that one gift of a tent in that island and release gifts and ministries to do what God's called them to do? It's so good. Isn't it good? Isn't it good? It's good. It is good. All right. Are you ready? Now, next week, we're going to start a series on the Last Supper. It's going to be real good. We're working on the backdrop. We're going to be putting it up this week. It's going to be really great. But we're going to talk about some of the things and dynamics that took place in Jesus' last hours with his disciples. And we're going to lead all the way up to Easter and Good Friday and that whole thing. So bring a friend. Because we're really, really going to talk about some wonderful things in that dialogue with Jesus at the Last Supper with his disciples, that people's lives are going to be touched and impacted, and we're going to see the kingdom extended. Can I get a hallelujah? All right, good, good. So that means I got a one-off. I get to do something just whatever I feel like, so that's good. Say, that's good. So, I mean, are you on the crazy friend list? I don't... It's almost like you got to define that, you know, like, are you on the crazy friend? I mean, what I mean by that is, like, I got, yeah, crazy good, like crazy when you're going through a bad situation, you know, and you need some crazy friends. I mean, are you on that list that when people are going through something, they call you? When you need something to happen where you need some crazy dynamic manifestation out of heaven that you got to be crazy to believe for. I mean, people who don't walk by sight, but they walk by faith. People who can stand up with you in the realm of nonsense and believe you for stuff that can't be seen. People who can pull out of the unseen realm. I mean, are you on the crazy friend list? No, I know I'm on the crazy friend list of a bunch of people. I get calls from all over the world because I'm on the crazy friend list. Because, you know, if you want to call me with a question of what should we do next, it's always, you're going to get an answer from me: go bigger, go more, go beyond. I mean, I've had some texts recently from people doing, you know, ministry and involved in outpourings and things like that. We're just looking for wisdom and stuff like that. And they send me a text. They say, go bigger, go more, get bolder, get more creative, get reckless. So I don't know if that's what you wanted to hear, but that's what you're going to get from me because I'm a crazy friend. Are you on the crazy friend list? So, oh, pastor, my God, what are you talking about? You know, you need to be. And if you aren't on the crazy friend list, how many know you need to have a crazy friend list? Everybody's got their list of where you reach out to when you need somebody to agree with you for something wild. John chapter 11, verse 40, it says, Jesus said there, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? I mean, Jesus is incredible. I mean, here's Jesus. He gets a call that your friend is sick, and then instead of coming quickly to visit the hospital, he waits till you're dead. You know, Martha's really running out going, wow, Jesus, it's awesome to see you. If you'd have been here earlier, he wouldn't be dead. And then he's like, I am the resurrection and the life. Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? Yes, Lord, we know that in the last days, they're all going to rise and we'll see each other in heaven. And he's like, oh. That's where Jesus wept. And he didn't weep because he was sad. He wept because he was sad about the circumstances and the hearts of people and what he was trying to break through. I mean, even his disciples, when they found out he was dead, he said, no, he's just asleep. Oh, well, if he's just sleeping, then why do we got to go back and visit him? Oh, stop it. He's dead. He's really dead. Pastor, you didn't visit me in the hospital. I mean, Jesus waited till you're dead. I mean, my God, that's rough. Listen, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. You ready? We're going to have a glory of God conference. You ready? How do we get some? If you believe, you'll see the glory. Oh, wow. Oh, you got to believe and you got to do this and you got to. No, Jesus just said straight up, if you believe. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? Who's seeing the glory right now? You'll see the glory. You'll see the glory. You know, the glory of the Lord fills the earth. The glory of the Lord is here. But, you know, to see the glory, you got to believe. You can go to meetings, a lot of different things, and some people see glory, some people don't see anything. Some people get touched, some people go, whoa, what happened? That's the whole thing. You got to taste and see. Are you tasting? What are you tasting? Are you tasting? Are you working with your taster? I love Smith Wigglesworth. He said, God is tied irrevocably to human cooperation. Means if we're going to get some glory, we got to engage. You gotta jump in. You gotta do something. Luke chapter 18, verse 8. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith? He's looking for faith. He's looking for belief. What's he looking for to have a breakthrough? What's he looking for to have an outbreak of the goodness and the glory of God? Just straight up belief. I believe I'm going to come to church today, going to sing a few songs, hear pastor do a little sermon, then I'm going to go watch the Daytona 500. Woo! I believe we're going to see the glory of God. I believe we're going to have a roof breaking, tearing open, ripping time of the glory invading a meeting. Oh, I wasn't expecting that, Pastor. Well, that's generally why we just have the normal meeting. Because you came expecting the normal meeting. But if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. How many believe? How many believe? My legs are all numb. I mean, I'm just trying to stand up as an effort right now. Luke chapter 8, verse 25. But he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? I mean, he's sleeping, snoozing the storm, big nasty storm. You know, another time when they went into the storm, Jesus said to them, didn't you learn anything about the loaves and the fishes? And what they were supposed to learn, the miracle isn't like a miracle, whoa! A miracle isn't to get you all excited. A miracle has a lesson attached to it. And it's supposed to teach you something. And you see, the miracle that was taught by Jesus about loaves and fishes was we can take authority over creation. And so that's why he's going, God, where is your faith, guys? Like, where is your faith? I mean, you know, your faith should be in action right here, but you're waking me up. I'm having a really good snooze, and you're waking me up when, you know what? You have authority over this storm. Where's your faith? He's looking for, what's he looking for? He's looking for faith. He's looking for belief. He's looking for that conviction. Because if you have belief, you're going to walk in, you're going to live in, and you're going to stay fixed in that realm of the glory of God. Matthew 8, 5 to 10, he said, here's what he said to the, you know, the woman with the issue of blood. She just got touched, and this guy's going, come and you know, please heal my son. And I love this with the centurion, though. The centurion, he says, Jesus says, listen to this, I will come and heal him. How many think that's a really good word? He'd come to Jesus and say, could you please come to my house and heal my son? I will come and heal him. So he's not trying to overcome any reluctance at this point. Jeez, I think that's good. I'd be opening the door, come Jesus. Whoa, Jesus is coming to my house. He's coming to heal my son. This is so good. But here's what the centurion said. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Only speak the word and your servant will be healed. Pastor, could you please come quick, visit us at the hospital? We need a touch. Oh, you know what? Never mind. Just declare the word over the phone, good enough. What? I mean, you really believe that we can speak something over the phone and you can be touched and healed? No, we want you to come. I mean, Jesus said, I will come. So it wasn't that he wasn't willing to come. He really would come. But he said, you know what? Only speak the word and my servant will be healed. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Now think about it. Jesus marveled. Jesus is eternal. Jesus has seen a lot of stuff, experienced a lot of stuff, seen all kinds of things. Jesus went, whoa! I mean, wow! I haven't seen anything like this. I mean, when you make Jesus marvel, that's got to be pretty wild. But now listen, see, when faith in the spoken word is exactly the same as a personal visit from Jesus. Don't you wish Jesus could personally walk in the room? He could, like, a personal manifestation. I want to see him. Like, I want him to really manifest in my life right now. I want Jesus to walk in the room. You know what? The faith in the spoken word is exactly the same as a personal visit from Jesus. Whew. That's why faith is so important. Because when you have faith in his word, you literally experience the same benefits of an absolute, clear, personal encounter with God. Isn't that good? Settle down. I know. It's just, that's too much. All right, hit me with another slide. Hit me. I mean, I love that Jesus marveled at that, don't you? 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. Walk, when they use the word walk, they mean life. So they mean you do life. You do life by faith. Everyday stuff is done by faith. You do the everyday stuff in your life, not by sight. You don't live out of what you can see, feel, or sense. You don't live your everyday life out of the sense realm. Your everyday life is a faith walk. Your everyday life is in the unseen realm. The Amplified says this, for we walk by faith. We regulate our lives. We conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief. Our conviction or belief, respecting man's relationship to God in divine things with trust and holy fervor, thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. We regulate our lives. We conduct ourselves by the conviction or the belief in respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Wow. We're a faith people. People, we are on the crazy friend list because we're faith people. Because when people need an expression, a manifestation of the unseen, when people need Jesus to walk in the room, you're on the crazy friend list. Holy fervor, thus we walk not by sight, but by faith, not by sight or appearance. Mark chapter 9, verse 22 to 25. Now, they're up on the mountain. You get this manifestation of Moses and Elijah, an amazing experience that these three had. And then they come down the hill, and the Pharisees and the disciples are arguing, and you got a guy there. So you got a father down here who's got, my son's got a problem. You got a father up on the hill said, do whatever my son tells you, you know, follow him. So you got these two fathers giving you direction. But the father down below, he's like, help my son. And here's what he says. He says, if you can do anything, do it. I mean, he's disciples can't do anything. They're arguing with the Pharisees and Sadducees and wouldn't sees and couldn't sees. And he's arguing with these folks. And Jesus, like, what are you guys arguing about? Loose the kingdom. Here's the father. He turns to Jesus now. He comes down there going, if you can do anything, have a heart and help us. I mean, that's some of the prayer meetings I've been in. God, if you can do it, I mean, have a heart. Visit our city. Oh, God, please have compassion on us. Oh, my goodness. And it's like, God, quit being reluctant. Stop holding out on us. Oh, God, what is it that ticks you off about us? We'll change it. I'll fix it. I mean it. I'll be better. Please just do something. And that's the way we interact with God. It's weird. God's moved by faith. He's not moved by whining. God's moved by faith. And here's what Jesus said. He said, if, did you say if? I love this. It's a message. It says, there are no ifs among believers. Let me say it again. There are no ifs among believers. Any believers here today? No, if the Lord's willing, he can heal your mother. God bless you. How long are they going to be here? Because we need crazy friends here. We don't need that. We need crazy friends in the room right now. We need some crazy people. If your mom learns the lesson that God's trying to get her to learn. I said, well, I'm learning the lesson. This really sucks. Did I say that? That's what I learned. When I see somebody you love who's struggling, I go, I hate this. I'm mad at this. I'm angry about this. And so that's when you call your crazy friends. You know, because there's no ifs among believers. Ha! Hello! All right. Anything can happen. And the father cried, then I believe. help my doubts, help my unbelief. And Jesus right away turned and he said, good enough, that's a good enough bridge for me to push some heavenly cargo over. Bam, he speaks to the deaf and dumb spirit, he said, I command you to come out of him and never return. Amen. All right, I got to move along. Three types of unbelief. You ready? Three types. There's probably more, but I'm going to give you at least three. Number one, ignorance of the facts. Now, bless these folks, they're just ignorant. You can say ignorant or you can say ignorant. I like ignorant because it's just more emphasis on you're ignorant. And, you know, you can bless ignorant folks because they're ignorant, right? And they don't know what's available, right? So if you don't know, it's kind of like, you know, my car, it's interesting. Sometimes with my car, I find out it's got features I didn't even know, but I didn't know it worked. I didn't know we could do that. And you don't even know. You didn't read the manual, so you forget some of the benefits that are there because you're ignorant. There's a lot of people ignorant of the blessings of God. You know, because God gave us his will, his word, and he puts you in context with other believers. He puts you in relationship with teachers and the Spirit so you can learn stuff, so you can appropriate all the benefits and not live below your privileges. But some folks, they got unbelief just because they didn't know they could believe for that. Did you know there's some people who don't know you can believe for healing? They don't know that. They don't think that's even available anymore. So there's a second kind of unbelief, and this is bad because there's mental assent without expression. And that's where you're unwilling to act on his word. You know what I mean? You know what's interesting is when I was in the airport, whenever you're in the airport, you're pulling your bag and then you're walking towards the door. There's no handles on the door, but you have to walk towards the door and you keep on walking. And then you believe that it's going to open. That's pretty embarrassing if you run right into it. I didn't know it was locked. That meant I was ignorant. I didn't know that one was locked. But you know what? It's funny. You got to walk towards that door like I expect it to open. And how many know when you're in the airport, you walk a little faster? You just want to beat everybody to customs. You know, you're like, but I'm like, but then I was in the airport, went to wash my hands, and there's no taps or anything. There's a tap, but there's no things to turn or anything. And you got to stick your hands under, believing that it's going to shoot some water out. But you got to act to get results. And then even the soap dispenser now. And then I'm trying to get, where's the towels? Where's the towels? Then you got to wave your hand and then a towel spits out. I mean, it's so awesome. I'm like, this is great. We're teaching people to live the faith life. We're teaching people that if you act, you'll get a manifestation. Yeah. If you walk towards that door full on, pulling your luggage at full pace, trying to beat that little lady to customs, because she looks like she got issues, but you're headed straight at that door, and sure enough, I knew it would open. That is awesome. There's a lot of people that are unwilling. They got the word, yeah, but you know, I know it's just like Martha, right? I know you're the resurrection. I know that. Yeah, I hate that when you're praying for people, you share with them, you know, you share a truth with them and stuff. They go, yeah, I know. Well, why are we having this conversation then? If you know all that, you got all that. Why aren't we acting on it? Why aren't we getting the manifestation? If you're putting your hands under the tap, the water comes out. If you're acting on the word, you get the manifestation. Well, I'm just waiting on God. And then there's people striving to try to get themselves in some, finally, I've achieved a state where I now am qualified to put my hands under the tap. I have now, standing at the door, what are you waiting for? I'm waiting for a certain realm of holiness and purity before I can head towards the door. No, you just do it. Just go. Because you know, it's God's grace. It's his finished work of the cross that's qualified you to walk through every barrier, to walk through every circumstance and situation. You get all of these blessings, not because you're good, but because he's good. Isn't that good? That's really good. Now there's a third type, which are really, really annoying. These are educated, systematic unbelief. And these are people who just, they don't only don't believe, and it's not that they don't even have information, they literally have developed a systematic belief system that is totally contrary to the word of God. There's people that they have been taught a belief system that all the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. They've been taught that. There's a cessation of the Spirit. Anybody who speaks in tongues is of the devil. They're taught, they're systematically taught that to expect anything supernatural is wrong. So it's an unbelief that is actually an educated, trained, it's a learned unbelief in anything wonderful or supernatural. And some people, they come to a church like this and they go, wow, I was there. A guy started to prophesy and he had like addresses and names and birth dates. And he knew who the kids were. He knew the names of wives and stuff. Oh, sure. Well, you know, that's probably a familiar spirit, you know. So I believe more in the devil's ability to do something than I do in God's ability to do something. So this guy was supernaturally dumb, but it was a demonic thing because we don't believe in the prophetic for today, but we believe the devil could do it. I mean, how much nonsense is that? That literally is the definition of blasphemy, attributing to the devil something that God did. And that educated system of unbelief is the most terrible, terrible kind, because deception is such a nasty thing to have to try to confront. Three basic areas. Everybody say, I'm not number one. I refuse to be number two. And God bless those number threes, but they need help. Amen. All right, good, good, good. All right, four basic things about faith. Four basics of faith, all right? There may be more. I'm going to give you four basic ones. Number one, faith is a law. Say law. God has established that everything operates by faith. Everything. You sat on that chair by faith. You did. Everything. You walked to push a door and you're expecting it to open by faith. There's one day that door was open and this one had the little chain around it. I didn't know it was there. And I walked at it by faith, but I didn't have the revelation. There was a chain on the other side and I had a confrontation with the door. But you know, everything you do is by faith. You turn your car on in the morning by faith. You flick the lights on in the morning. You turn your tap on your whole life you're designed to live by faith. But this whole realm of faith that you can live in God, it's faith in experience that you have, but then it's also going to have to be faith in the unseen realm and faith in the Word of God. So faith is a law. By the law of faith, Romans 3:27 says, it's all by the law of faith. Number two, faith is a gift. Oh, I wish I had faith. You need more faith, brother. If you had more faith, you could get healed. Hallelujah. The problem is you don't have faith. Well, Jesus did say, where is your faith? Jesus always wanted to know, is there any faith? But you know what? As a believer, Mark 11:22, you're told, have the faith in or the faith of, literally better translated, have the faith of God. How many think the Holy Spirit would tell you to do something you couldn't do? So what kind of faith has God asked you to have? Literally in Corinthians, he said, you have the same spirit of faith. And what is he referring to? The same spirit of faith who at the beginning said, let there be light. So God operated in a spirit of faith. God fully expected when he said, let there be light, there would be light. And he's literally saying, you operate in the same spirit of faith where you speak the things that are not as though they were and call them into manifestation. So there is a law of faith, but you've been given the gift of faith. Romans 12:3 says, God hath dealt to every man, say every man. That includes all women too. It's all mankind. God has given to everyone. He's dealt to everyone the, not a. A measure of faith is brutal because you go, well, I didn't get the same measure that, you know, Frida got. So I need Frida to pray for me because she got more. No, it says I've given to every man the measure of faith. Every single one of us got it. Can you say amen? So that doesn't mean that everybody who got faith is operating in faith. Doesn't mean everybody who's got faith is using their faith. Doesn't mean everybody's got faith is growing their faith. Your faith should be active. It should be growing. You should be using it. The third one, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So God wants faith. He rewards faith. He's pleased by faith. I mean, he wants to find faith. He, when he comes, he says, will I find faith? But now listen, he also says, here's how you get it. He also says you can have as much as you want. I'm also going to provide and give you the means to have faith. Isn't that good? Oh, I don't got no faith, Pastor. Only got that little bit I started with. Hasn't been able to grow for some reason. Well, it says right here. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you need your faith to grow in any area of your life, then you need to get into the word. Well, my faith increases through trials and tribulations. My faith doesn't increase through trials and tribulations. My faith is tried and tested through trials and tribulations, but it doesn't grow through trials and tribulations. It may grow if I overcome, and I may have experience now that my faith worked, but faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So don't say, God, I want my faith to grow. Send me a trial. You know, that's like going to school and not attending any classes and saying, I'm ready for the test. So you walk in, you say, I haven't attended any classes, but I want to write the exam. You're going to write the exam when you've gone to the classes, you paid attention, you've studied, you've done yourself, then you're ready to have the test. But a lot of people, they're not having faith tests. You're having faith crises. You're having faith blow-ups. But you know what? If you want your faith to grow, it's not through testing. It's through the Word of God. So you don't lack the ability to believe. You lack the knowledge of what to believe. Isaiah 5:13 says, my people gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And that's really what happens with a lot of believers today. I was down in Jamaica and talking about some stuff and sickness, disease, all this stuff. And some people, you know, they like to think that, you know, church is like a hospital where you bring all your problems. And, you know, we come and share our problems with one another. And each week I come back and I revisit the sick ward and talk about, you know, my warts and my, you know, things. And I'm going to the hospital every day to see my mom. I hate it. I don't hate seeing my mom. I love seeing my mom. But I hate that the room that we have to go through, the waiting room, is full of people. And there's two rooms I go by each time. This room was reserved for this family. This room was reserved for this family. And then you see people walking down the hall, whole families crying, bawling their eyes out. And I'm going, I hate this place. I don't know about you, but how many just want to take a couple weeks off and go spend it in the hospital? No, you want to go to the beach or somewhere awesome. What do we want to call the church a hospital for? I mean, I hate hospitals. I can't remember. I've only been there to visit people recently. And if I do have to go in, I want out. Not saying that people who work in hospitals aren't awesome, Kevin. But God bless the people who are called to that ministry. I can't believe they are. I bless the nurses, people who are working with my mom. I'm going, oh my goodness, God bless you folks. Because she said yesterday, she said, could you bring in some toenail clippers and maybe clip your mom's nails? I went, what? So I'll get my wife to do that because she's got foot issues, so she can. You ever seen Cheryl's feet? They're much better from surgery, but oh my God. Anyways, she'll say, would you rub my feet? I said, what? Oh my God. I'd rather face the apocalypse by myself. But anyways, but shh. Okay, it's good. All right. That was close. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Number four. Do we got number four? I'm way off my notes now. Give me another slide just for fun. All right. All right, number four, faith works by believing and confessing. Faith works by believing and confessing. So how does faith work, Pastor? It works by believing. If you believe, you'll see the glory. If you believe, you'll see the glory. So if you believe, you'll see the glory. Mark 11, 23, 24, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass. So it's your heart and it's your mouth. So the first thing to get touched when you're in faith is your mouth. Mouth, say mouth. Mouth. You see, you got to believe it in your heart, and then boom, the first expression, first thing to get used is going to be your mouth. Your mouth's going to say something. So those are tied together in this whole thing. Romans 10, 8 to 10. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So when you want the manifestation, salvation isn't getting saved. Salvation is that whole process of embracing all the good things of God. So that's not a verse about how to get saved. That's a verse about how to get saved, how to continue, how to manifest the kingdom in your life every day. It's with your heart you get a beautiful vision of all the good things God has spoken to you. And then with your mouth, you confess, it is so. I was saying that with my mom. A couple days ago, she wasn't having a good day. She's kind of tired. I said, what do you see, Mom? Do you see yourself getting up and walking out of here? Because I do. I see you walking out of here, both legs trucking, going down the thing. I see you fully enjoying a T-bone steak with me in the backyard. Woohoo! Swimming in the pool. Your heart's good. Everything's good. You're pumping. I see you. And so, you know what? You start saying those kind of things because, you know, you got to get your seer activated. You got to get your heart activated. You got to get images on your heart of what you believe. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But a lot of people, I just see this getting bad. I just see this getting worse. I just see it. I'm not going to have that because I'm a crazy friend. I'm going to bring into manifestation the unseen stuff. If you wanted that miserable friend, I'm not it. If you wanted that friend that's going to come join in the pity party, I don't attend those. Heart, you believe, with your mouth, you confess unto righteousness. Turn the page. How are we doing? All right, we're going to move fast. First part of you that faith moves is your mouth. Your word and your posture build the bridge over which faith moves heavenly cargo. Let me read that again. Your words and your posture, I added that in there because sometimes people say things with their mouth, but I can tell with their posture they don't really believe it. Did you know that you can say things with your mouth that if your internal world doesn't agree with it, it really doesn't even matter? You read Carolyn Leaf, and she'll say, you can say all kinds of things, but you know what? If your inside doesn't agree with what you said, it will not register. Will not register. But listen now, you got it. And I love that. You know, your words and your posture build a bridge. So there's heavenly cargo. How many know there's heavenly cargo that wants to come to you? I know all those blessings in the Word of God. There's so much stuff. I mean, just that one verse in Psalms, daily he loads me with benefits. But to get those benefits out of the heavenly realm and into my realm, I need the bridge. I need something that's going to engage that. How many wish all the goods and things that God says in his word would actually come into manifestation? You know, if we really believe that, then we really got to take seriously that God's looking for faith. He really is. You know, well, it sounds like you're turning faith into a work. No, I'm saying that faith works. I'm not turning faith into a work. I'm just telling you, faith works. And you know what? Faith came from God. It's the God kind of faith. It's not something you drum up or stir up. It's something that comes. It's his faith because of his grace. But you know what? You got to use it. You got to use it. You got to operate in it. One of my favorite verses. How many know that's true? Right here. One of my faves right here. 1 Peter 1:8-9. Yet believing with you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. Remember? How many are saying, I'm believing and I want to go into receiving? How many like to step to the receiving part of the equation? How many want to go from receiving, from believing to receiving? Look, 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 it's right here. This is right here. Believing, receiving. I want to go to receiving. Well, to go from believing to receiving, you have to do this. You got to get a little loopy. I'm happy, 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 happy. No, you're not. Because it's joy unspeakable. Ha! Ah! Ha! Woo! What are you so happy about? I'm receiving stuff. Believing stuff. Ha, ha, ha. Receiving stuff. I tell you, you got to believe, but then your posture's got to shift. I mean, if you really believe God's word, you're not going to, I believe you, Lord. I hope it comes. I hope it comes. I hope it comes. I'm going to give this faith thing a try. I trust you. What are you doing? I'm in faith. I'm in faith right now. I'm just in faith believing. That's not in faith believing. That's in fear and doubt believing. Oh, no, no. I saw somebody do it once. Did they get any results? I tell you, I believe my Bible on purpose. I tell you, believing and receiving, there's got to be a posture. There's got to be some gratitude, some happy, 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 So just, woohoo, some really good stuff going on. All right, did I make my point? All right, let me move on before my wife comes and starts staring at me. Are you in the room, honey? Are you? She's at the back. I love you. Okay, let's move right on. Let's go. Mark chapter 2, 1 to 12. You ready? I'm going to read it for you. And again, he entered Capernaum in some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Say he was in the house. People should hear he's in the house. Is he in the house here or not? I'll tell you, people should know he's in the house. You should be telling people. You should be telling people. Go to our website and check out that webcast from last week. People had specific, ridiculous words from God that touched them and ministered to them, and God spoke to them powerfully. I mean, we should be telling people God's in the house. Somebody got to say something, for goodness sake. God is in the house. They said God's in the house. Immediately many gathered together. That's what happens when people hear that God's in the house. So that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. Not even near the door. I mean, there was no room anywhere. And he preached the word to them. He preached the word. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And they, when they got there, they could not come near him because of the crowd. So they uncovered the roof. This is four crazy friends. And everybody needs at least four crazy friends. Because if we're between the manifestation of what God's promised and the reality of it, there's sometimes you need four crazy friends to remove whatever is in the way of the realization of what God promised us. God's promised us stuff. I'm tired of prophetic people coming in here going, man, you've worked really hard. You've stewarded the revival. You've stewarded God's presence. It's so wonderful to come in here and see how you've stewarded this. And you know, God's going to come. You're going to experience a mighty. I don't want to hear that anymore. I want it now. Now faith is. I want revival now. If there's anything going on anywhere else in the world, who cares? I want it here, and I want it now. And I'm looking for four crazy friends who'll rip the roof off this so that we can get a heavenly expression, because I believe, and if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Settle down. I'm not that excited. My God. Come on. Just turn to your neighbor and say, come on. Turn to the person on the other side and say, you're my second choice. All right. Uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken through, you know, you don't just take a few tiles off and go, oh, this is hard. They're probably going to be mad at us if we... What do you think? I mean, that first picture I showed you was just that massive hole in the roof. Literally, if there's no room in the house and the place is surrounded with people, these guys go in the roof, dig through that roof. I mean, literally, there's dirt and stuff falling all over the place on people. I mean, they don't give a rip. I'm removing the barriers to my friend's breakthrough. Hello. All right, let's move on. All right. Uncovered the roof, they broke through and they let down the bed of the paralytic. When Jesus saw their faith, say, saw their faith. He saw it. He saw substantial. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He saw the evidence. He saw the substance. You need people that are going to walk in with substance. They're going to walk in carrying evidence. You need people that are walking with faith. People that are, you know, and walking with faith means you're dedicated to it. You're committed to it. You believe it. There's devotion. Your inner world is arranged towards it. You do ridiculous stuff because you're completely dedicated to this. It's not an option. It must happen. Must happen. All right, let me finish the text. Then we're going to pray for you and go watch NASCAR. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Some of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? That means there's people in the room who are systematically trained not to believe. There's people in the room that are not going to believe no matter what. You could have a supernatural sign and a wonder. You could have God himself speaking and unpacking, giving people's zip codes, social insurance numbers, all kinds of stuff. Big deal. I mean, there's a visitation of God. That's a gift on somebody. And it's somebody who's saying that I'm doing this just to show you that everybody can do this. This is what everybody can do. We're actually having a Wednesday night session where what that guy taught, his whole book, we're teaching everybody how to translate God and his love to other people. Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I'd like to see more people do that. But I'm busy on Wednesdays. I know there's a lot of cool TV on Wednesdays. Okay, that was good, Pastor. But immediately, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned with themselves. He said, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or arise and take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and he went up, and he immediately arose, and he went out in the presence of them all, so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. All right, give me another slide. Impact is a faith gang. Impact, we're going to get our own jackets. Impact. Impact leathers. We're going to wear our colors. We're a mob that when we walk in, it's like the crazy people are here. And you know what? Too late. Your car's been seen in the parking lot a few times. Too late. We are a pack of believers whose faith is viral. And we are believing for a breakthrough of breakthroughs. I've had so many people say, like you have Sean saying, I ran into Lou Engel. Lou Engel's doing this big Azusa thing. But I ran into him 3 times and I realized that the reason this is happening is God's speaking to us and he's saying something. And they both agree that where you're going right now in London, God's going to do something crazy in that city. These are some of the most prolific and genuine and authentic prophetic people of our day who said that about you. Would you hurry up, Pastor? I got a roast in the oven. Believers whose faith has gone viral, we will see London filled with the glory. You need at least four crazy friends. At least four. All heads bowed, eyes closed. Are the four of you here today? I see one. How do you think? I just need three. I see one, see three, three. I got four. I got five. Oh, my God. I got five, six. Holy moly. Seven. Oh, my God. Eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Ah! The rest, you're like, oh, no. Are you on somebody's crazy friend list? Are you? You should be. You should be on somebody's crazy friend list. You should be that person who that they know. We got to quit being the people who constantly need a call. We got to be the ones who are giving those crazy calls, you know? Reaching out to people and touching people and doing that. Our faith has gone viral. Show me that last picture. We got that there? Are you on the crazy friend list? See, that's actually the hole that would happen. That's kind of what it would look like in their day if that roof got busted open. That's a mess. And those guys were willing to tear open somebody's house just to get their friend in there. I'll do whatever it takes to get you to Jesus. But you know what? Jesus is in you. And you got to realize that you're not the receiver now. You're the dispenser. And wherever you go, the kingdom is. You know, you should be reading these stories and putting your name in where Jesus is. Well, that's weird. No, it's really not. Because Jesus said, you will do greater things than I've done. So what if that's true, then I need to study the things he did. I need to know what did he do, because I'm supposed to do that stuff. But we keep reading like, wow, Jesus was awesome. You're awesome. And Jesus esteems you better than himself because he says, you'll do greater things than I did. So if you're going to do stuff that he did, you need to study it. You need to quit saying, Jesus, please walk into my life. You are Jesus now. The incarnation is taking place. Christ in you is the hope of realizing the glory. Come on, stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Lord. Father, I believe, and I command in the name of Jesus. I command and I war a warfare with these words that have been spoken over us. That, Father, we will contend for the manifestation of these words. We will, oh yeah, another nice word about God doing something in London. Oh, yes, well, whenever you want to do that, Lord, if it's time. There's no ifs with believers. It's time. Father, we are just rabid. We are infected. We are viral with your goodness and your grace. We got faith for the glory right now. He said, if you believe, did I not say if you believe, you'll see the glory? So, Father, right now, just as the pastor in this house, I want you to know, Father, I believe. And I believe because I love this city. I love those people I keep seeing in those waiting rooms. I keep smiling at them and going by. And Lord, I just want to see their hopelessness turn into a demonstration of your peace and your love and your grace. Lord, I want to see your glory flood this city like never before. I want to see all the words spoken over Canada come into full expression and manifestation. Father, in this house, we say yes. So, Father, every time we gather, it's going to be wild. Every time we gather, it's going to be hot. It's going to be intense. Because, Father, we're going to manifest the posture for what we believe. We're not going to just give mental assent or verbal assent. We're going to engage every part of us in faith, believing that it's time. It's time for these things to come into expression and come into manifestation. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to it completely in Jesus' name. Now, just quickly, your head's bowed, your eyes closed. Is there anyone here? You wandered in, you saw some cars in the parking lot, came by. But maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're not even sure about that or what that is. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. And that's all. I'm going to ask you to put your hand up because I want to pray with you, all right? So I'm going to count to three so you know when to put your hand up. Real simple. So you ready? One, two, Three. Just raise your hand so I can see it. Raise it right up really high. Raise it up really high. Okay. Now, I just want to encourage you again. We are going to be ministering all the way through to Easter on the Last Supper. And we're really going to minister things that people will get touched. People's lives will be ministered to. Unsaved people will experience the touch of the Holy Spirit in their lives. People's problems will get resolved. People will get healed. And they'll experience words from heaven and breakthroughs from God. I just encourage you to bring people out. Invite. We've got invite cards out in the other room over there. We got those for you. You can get those. You can invite people. You can hand them a card. When you get a coffee, hand them a card. Come to Impact Church. God's in the house. It says, and immediately the place was packed. Immediately. You know, 85% of people say they'd go to church, just nobody ever invites them. Well, not my friends, Pastor. Yeah, your friends. Or you're a statistic anomaly, I suppose. Come on. Let's do this. It's going to be an amazing season of breakthrough. Let me bless you and pray for you, ready? Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Father, we're committed that the heavens are open above us. There's going to be no limitations or barriers. We believe and we see the glory of God. And so, Father, we just are going to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And we're believing we're going to see a great expression of all that you desire. We say yes to your word over us. Just like Peter said, at your word, I'm going to throw out the net again. It doesn't make sense, but at your word, I'm going to do it. At your word, we're going to believe right now for ridiculous revival in this city. And Father, we commit ourselves to it. We posture ourselves for it. We present ourselves ready for it right now. As a house and individually and corporately, we say yes to what you desire to do. So, Father, I bless each one now. I thank you for them. What an awesome day it is. And Lord Jesus, I pray for your grace to be upon everyone. Father, let your wonderful, great love just wrap each and every one. And Holy Spirit, put us on like a garment. Manifest your kingdom in and through us. Demonstrate yourself everywhere we go with your partnership, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.